end of the rope. All night long, a dream of the day.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, quick word here for Bud Light. They are tremendous sponsors of this show, and we thank Bud Light for all that they do. And in our next segment, I'll be doing the Game On for 90, and we will again, that will be sponsored by Bud Light. So our thanks to Bud Light for all they do for the game of soccer. I personally thank Bud Light for getting soccer on the radio here. It's very important to support not only the local game, but the international community that we have here in Houston, Texas, that absolutely love football / soccer. 713-780-3776 throughout the night. But again, our thanks to Bud Light for all that they do. Alan Kennedy is in student. He is in studio right now. He is a Liverpool legend. He's in Houston, courtesy of the Liverpool Supporters Group. Just listen to this. He won 5 First Division titles, 4 League Cups, 3 Charity Shields, 2 European Cups. We talked about the 81. Let's talk about 84 in Rome, Olympic Stadium, Liverpool on penalty kicks will beat Roma. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. There weren't any thoughts at the time because I didn't think I was taking a penalty. And Roma were the home team. They had the home advantage there. There were 90,000 people in the stadium. Liverpool only had about 15,000 there behind the bottom goal. So when everything was sorted, we had to take the penalties from the top end, which was at their end anyway. And so they've got an advantage over that side of it. And our manager, Joe Fagan, and when I look back on it, I think, well, he made some good decisions. He made some very, very good decisions. He came over to me and he said to me, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I'm all right." And then he walked off and he went to talk to some other players. And then the players that he'd nominated gave the names to the referee. And I said to my coach, Ronnie Moran, I said, "Ronnie, who's the fifth one?" And he said, "It's you." I said, "Wow. Well, how's it me, Ronnie?" Well, he said, "You told the manager you were all right." And I had told the manager I was all right, but the manager forgot to finish the sentence because he was asking me to take a penalty. And I didn't realise at the time he was asking me to take a penalty. So I'd said, "Yeah, I'm all right. Oh yeah, don't worry about it." So anyway, the four guys give the names and I went over. And I just didn't want to give my name. And I was, you know, and the referee's asking me, "What's your name?" And I was like, Alan Kennedy, like, you know. He says, "Okay, off you go." And then when we started to nominate who was going to take the first one, it was going to be Phil Neal, our regular penalty taker. And then we changed it because Steve Nicholl said he wanted to take the first penalty. Get it over with. And we said, "Go on then." Anyway, he took the penalty and missed the penalty.
Went over the top.
Yeah, it went over the top. And I was sitting, obviously, 60, 70 yards away. And I jumped up and went, "Get in there." Because I'm thinking, they're going to score the first 4 penalties. I won't get a shot, so that'll do me. Mm-hmm. I was happy with that. But the way it worked out was the fact that, you know, we then scored 3 penalties. They missed 2 of them through a guy called Graziani and a guy called Bruno Conti. And then
2 huge Italian names.
Absolutely. Without doubt. They bottled it. You know, they skied the ball, hit the crossbar, went over, like, you know.
And both internationals.
Yeah. And to be fair, Bruce Grobbelaar was brilliant at putting him off. He did his wobbly knees and he did what he had to do. He bit the back of the net. He kicked the post. He did this, putting them off, delaying tactics, whatever it might be. And it was absolutely brilliant. So, but nobody expected that to happen, especially Italians. They're cool. They can do what they want. And then it was down to me. So I'm walking forward, like, you know, and then Bruce comes to the side of me. And he just looks at me and he just started to laugh. And he said, "Are you taking the 5th penalty?" And I've gone,
"Did he have faith in you?"
I said, "Yeah." He said, "Oh, okay." And he said
was
something.
Was it a shot of confidence or not?
No.
Didn't sound like it.
Not a chance. And the rest, I mean, I put the ball down. My legs were absolutely shaking. I just couldn't stop them. And I just said to myself, if you miss this, there's going to be a lot of people after you. Yeah. And it's one of those, you know, don't change your mind. Don't change your mind. So I was thinking to myself, bottom right-hand corner, taking the ball away, being a left-footed player, taking mm-hmm. the ball away from the goalkeeper. Well, when I hit the ball, it went in the other corner. So I changed my mind at the last second. Wow. So the ball hit the back of the net. Can I just tell you something now? That's the greatest moment of my life. It was unbelievable. And it was like, oh, my God. So I peeled away and I was going to do, you know, a big celebration. I did nothing of the sort. And I did what's called, I just had a little bit of a skip. That's all I did. And it was so pathetic, you know, after scoring the winning goal and being, you know, there with your neck on the block and people looking at you going, oh, my God, it's him. But I managed to do what a lot of people hadn't done before. And it was just, as I said before, probably the greatest moment of my life.
Olympic Stadium in Rome. They beat Roma. That's the second European Cup for you. And for those of you out there, that's the modern-day Champions League. Mm. I got 2 minutes. Give us your thoughts on the current Liverpool. Can you do that in 2 minutes?
Well, it's going to be touch and go this season in terms of like where we're going to finish in the league. I don't think we're really bothered about the league at the moment. I'd love to see them finish with a bit of a flurry and give the fans a bit of a, you know, something to look forward to next season. That's what you want to do. You know, we've got a big game on Thursday against Borussia Dortmund in the Europa League. Beat them, and I think Liverpool will have a chance of winning that league. You know, sorry, winning the trophy. Dortmund are without doubt a very, very good team, but don't underestimate them. They're a good team. But I think if Liverpool can consolidate, they can start winning a few games. And they're doing all right. They are doing all right, but just all right. But I think come next season, Jurgen Klopp will say to his team, well, I'm not quite sure about you. I'm not quite sure, but...
Right, make it more of his team?
More of his team. He needs to get the spine of the team. We talk about the spine of the team. We certainly had a spine back in the 70s and 80s. He needs that. Does he need a new goalkeeper? He's talked about that. Does he need a new centre-half? He's talked about that. A guy who plays in the midfield as well. Of course, a goal scorer. We've got Sturridge there who was an out-and-out, who was a great player, but... You know, he's too injury-prone at the moment. And I don't think the manager fancies other players in the team, Benteke in particular. And he wants to sort of like offload one or two. But listen, he's a great manager, great guy. And I think he'll do well for Liverpool, given the time and the money.
He's brought some great energy to it, that's for sure. Alan Kennedy, what a pleasure it is you being in studio. Thank you very much for all your time here tonight. It was a rare opportunity for all of us, my listeners as well. Yeah. And we want to leave you leaving Houston with a great taste in your mouth. So if you're out there and you see Alan at the game against the LA Galaxy, make sure you give him that Houston hospitality. Alan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Two-time European Cup champion, Alan Kennedy, Liverpool legend. We'll take a break.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. A quick word here for Bud Light again. Bud Light, prime sponsors here of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we thank Bud Light for all their support of this show. Well, you know what? My 90-year-old father, who's a World War II veteran, they call him America's Greatest Generation, was in Okinawa, survived. And you know what I got him for his birthday? I got him a 12-pack of Budweiser. I lined it all up in the refrigerator, took a couple of great shots, photos with him. And that's what a hardcore Marine likes, a good Budweiser. So our thanks to Bud Light and Budweiser for all their support of this show. And it's that time now, isn't it, Tyler?
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90. Presented by Bud Light. Game on, game on.
All right, so I had the good pleasure of calling the U.S. Women's National Team match in Chester, Pennsylvania on ESPN this past weekend with former U.S. National Team legend Julie Foudy. Now, there was a lot swirling around the U.S. Women's National Team, as you know, including the off-field Equal Employment Opportunity Commission complaint that five high-profile U.S. National Women's players had filed on behalf of their teammates. Carly Lloyd and all of them went in and filed this against U.S. Soccer. Now, the U.S. would go on to win this match 3-0. And it would have been more if not for Colombian goalkeeper Catalina Perez coming up with a number of acrobatic saves. That game was a homecoming for female World Player of the Year Carly Lloyd, who grew up 30 minutes away in Delran, New Jersey, and played her college soccer at Rutgers. Now, when Lloyd was subbed out in the second half, she got a huge ovation. But there was a subtle glimpse into the future of the women's national team. As Lloyd came off, U.S. manager Jill Ellis moved 17-year-old talent Mallory Pugh from Colorado into the number 10 playmaking position. Now, this is a clear glimpse into the crystal ball, which will one day, I believe, see her, Mallory Pugh, at 17 now, down the road, pulling the strings as a U.S. playmaker. Pugh's best position is as a number 10, central, attacking, according to her youth coach, Lauren Donaldson, who was on this radio program a couple of weeks ago. She's quick, technical, can beat and eliminate defenders off the dribble as though slaloming down a hill on skis. Carly Lloyd is going nowhere in the future, but the symbolism there was huge. Game on for Jill Ellis, not only looking a few months away to the Olympics, but told me at practice this past weekend that she's managing the team with an eye on the 2019 Women's World Cup. Mallory Pugh will then be 21 years old and is a talent to make sure you keep your eyes on. That's Game On for 90. And it is, again, sponsored, as I unfortunately talked over that outro. It is sponsored by Bud Light, and we thank that. All right. We will get that right in the future. And, again, our thanks to Bud Light. All right. So time to do a little bit of Houston Dynamo talk here, right? Don't you think we should go to the manager, Owen Coyle, right now? All right. So Bud Light also brings you, as well as the Houston Dynamo and HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. This is my interview with manager Owen Coyle. Hey, just a reminder, this June, the world's best soccer players, yeah, they're coming to Houston. Chicharito, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jaimes Rodriguez, many, many more will be here. 100 years in the making, it is the Copa Centenario, 32 games, 16 teams, one champion, the Copa America Centenario. Don't miss Colombia, Costa Rica, Mexico, Venezuela, and a semifinal match. They're all at Energy Stadium. Many are expecting that Argentina and Lionel Messi will be there. We had the Copa America trophy up here as well. Producer Tyler Scott had his photo with it. So you can get your individual tickets. They are on sale now at ca2016.com. This next segment, by the way, is brought to you by the Houston Dynamo. They remind you, get your tickets in town this Friday night. It is the Los Angeles Galaxy. Jazzy's Artists and Company, they are in town. Giovanni Dos Santos, a game not to be missed down at BBVA Compass Stadium. And with that, the Houston Dynamo bring you the manager, Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you for coming on the show.
A pleasure, Glenn, as always. Nice to chat, Paul.
All right. I'm going to give you the usual opening platform. Just your opening thoughts on the 1-1 draw with Seattle.
Yeah, well, obviously, getting into the game, we're back at home, and as a game, as we're always looking to win the match. And I've got to say, I mean, the first half, 40 minutes probably, was as good as we played anywhere. Scored the goal, should have been two or three goals up, and hadn't allowed Seattle even a look at a goal for 40 minutes or so. I think they had one or two free kicks in the build-up to the half-time, came out the second half, and we actually, first 5 minutes or so, we actually controlled that. And then we allowed them, I think, just a little bit too much time in the ball. And part of that, you know, possibly, subconsciously, the players thinking, you know, we'll protect what we've got in the 1-0 lead. And that's not how we want to play. We want to play on the front foot. We want to be aggressive. What we've also got to understand as well is that you're playing against a quality side. And within that, there's always going to be times that they'll have periods of the game. You know, even when you play, with all due respect, when you play inferior opposition, they'll still have spells in the game because that's the nature of the way the game's played. But the fact that Seattle, we have Clint Dempsey's and Alonso's and wonderful players, I mean, they've invested financially in that squad over a number of years to bring top players to the club. So they're always going to have some possession. Having said that, I think they were restricted to two shots from outside the box that Joe dealt with comfortably, one round the post, the other one in his hand. and a couple of cross balls to the back post. So they never really, as much as they had a bit of possession second half, never really penetrated us. But for me, we want to play in the front foot. We want to be really aggressive in our play as we were for the first half. And because you've lost that, as we did such a late goal, and it's raw and it's emotional and it hurts everybody, you still can't forget how well the lads have played to get in front, which is the hardest part of the game, scoring goals and creating chances. Now, we're doing that and we're doing it very, very well. The top scorers in MLS, what we've got to do is we've got to rectify that, and we all understand that. There's no getting away from it. We've got to make sure that our game management, seeing the game out, is better than what it has been. So that, for me, is a little area to fix, as opposed to coming in after four or five games and not being able to score a goal or not create a chance. So there's so much good stuff that's went on in terms of the pre-season and even in the games, that we make sure we're continuing doing all the good stuff, but we improve in those little areas where we have to. And if we do that, we've already shown what a wonderful team we can have.
Oh, and let's talk about the second halves this year, because, you know, against Dallas, you had a 4-0 lead. You played a very differing half in that one. You ended up winning 5-0. Vancouver dropped off a little bit after the 1-0 lead up there to defend it. A differing type of match for you. Early in the season, New England conceded.
Sorry, Glenn. I disagree with that straight away, Glenn.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just in respect of, you're talking about second halves. The Dallas game, you're right, we're in total control. And we're able then, because it's 4-0 and it's a superior advantage, to play a different game and pick them off at will. Vancouver didn't drop off. We dominated Vancouver from the moment the penalty was scored, Glenn. So that's a completely different... That's a completely different take on the game. So I know people want to, you know, have their own, well, this is what happened. That's not what happened. I always call it straight. In the Vancouver game, we dominated from a penalty onwards.
Yeah, I understand that. But didn't you think they were trying to protect the one goal lead in the second half?
No, I just think similar to a bit on
you pushed them back, is what you're
similar
saying.
Similar to a bit what happened on Saturday. Seattle, Glenn, in the second half of Saturday, passed the ball better than they did in the first. And what happened to us, and this was the, you know, just for people analysing the game and looking at it extensively as I do, what we did in the second half, which I think we can do better, is that we took one, if you remember the plays in the first half, you know, particularly Ricardo Clark and Alex Lima, when they went to pass through us, we were in such a good starting position that we got tackles in, we intercepted. And I think because we're leading 1-0 in the second period at the weekend against Seattle, I think what we did is we took an extra yard back. And by taking just even that one extra yard, it means that you're not able to influence the play. Because even if the pass is underhit or overhit, they still have the extra yard to recover. And that was just a slight difference in terms of, you know, when people look at the game. Because there's always a tendency, people throw out bland statements. That's not what happened. But for me, we don't want to play like that. And I stress that to the players. We want to play in the front foot. We want to be engaging people. And if somebody's good enough to play around you with some wonderful play, we'll accept that. And ultimately what happened as a result of that, you know, they have a little, as I said, a little bit of pressure. Not really goal-scoring chances, but a little bit of possession. And that's what happened in the game on Saturday. And again, that's something that we as a group need to correct. And when we correct that, then, as I said before, all the good stuff that we've done, and it's important that people don't forget that, how good we've been doing. You know, we've asked for an exciting team, then we've got an exciting team. But what we've got to do in the back of being exciting and scoring goals and being penetrating is to make sure we close the back door when we do. After all the work we've put into the game, did we deserve to win that game? Yes, we absolutely did. But we didn't, so we have to rectify that small margin. And when we do that, you're set for your 3 points.
Is the small margin finding the right balance of that being on the front foot in the second half and the periods where an opponent is going to press you a little bit? Is that something you're still working on there? And
I think that's fair, Glenn. I think that's a fair comment. The understanding, because we do, we think, have many, many attacking pieces in respect of how we're looking to set up now. I've got to say, I'd much rather have a team that's going to be exciting and entertaining and trying to win than a team that you think, well, we need to steal a set play here or somewhere or be boring. And we want to entertain and we want to win. We're all here to win. That's the same thing that everybody craves. And there's a way to do that that's still being exciting and being dynamic, which we have been. And we all know we should certainly, given the level of performances, have more points in the bag than what we've got. But what it is, we've got what we've got, so we need to look to improve on that from now. And that's what we look to do. Of course, it's, as we say, it's a team that's progressing, a team that's getting to know each other, because we've brought some new pieces in. We've moved one or two others in different areas. And again, they've did very well in many respects. But of course, there's little areas that we can get better at, Glenn. None of us, and I said from the outset, are sitting here saying we're the finished article. Far from it. But we know the more we work together, the better we'll get moving forward. And as I said, you know, I'm still as excited as I was at the start of the season because of what we've got and the pieces we've got.
Is the second half, did you feel as though some individuals might have at times, and I'm not trying to get you to name names or anything, but did you feel individually sometimes some people might have lost focus?
For moments. I think like anything, Glenn, there's always going to be moments that there's a lack of concentration or whatever. But you know, when we analyse it, we always do, and we look at every play from each game. I mean, out with the, I think there was one that Joe probably made when Jaleel collided with the boy that Joe gets hands to. But there wasn't anything that you think, well, you know, they've cut you open and that's a guilt-edged chance. And there will be times that people have possession. And we, of course, we want to control the game for the duration of the match. But when they do have that possession that we're speaking about, Glenn, that's important then, that everybody's focused, everybody's knowing, obviously, that level of concentration which you're talking about there. And ultimately, see, when it comes to late in the game, and I'm going to tell you this story because I told the players that, and it's very, very true. Ultimately, at the end of the game, Glenn, you've got to do whatever it takes to get, because that's how important these games are and the points and everything else. Right. And I learned this lesson as I think I was 18 and a half years old, just come up from 19. I'd broke into the Dumbarton first team, and I was playing against my older brother, who was playing for another team. And this is my brother, as I said, there's nine of us, six boys and three girls. And he came from nowhere, Glenn, and he absolutely smashed me. and I learned my lesson that day, as much as my brother, and he loves me to bits. When he was on that field, he was on there to win. And it didn't matter to him that I was his brother. He was there to do whatever it took to help his team to win. And that's my message to the players. That's what we've got to do. I'm talking about within the laws of the game, but we've got to do whatever it takes to win, to go over the line. And again, I mean, I purposely, and I don't mind relaying this to everybody that's listening, because I think it's important. We went through the video and I stopped and I relayed the last 5 minutes of the game. And within that period, there was five or six different elements that if we'd have did differently, then it's an easier path to winning your 3 points. Mm-hmm. And you'll know what I'm talking about in terms of game management. You know, when we had a foul or taking a free kick, what area of the field he was in, taking the ball to a corner, all the different stuff that adds up to winning games. So, of course, with a young group as well, it's important that they pick those lessons up and we learn to do that, because there's so much good stuff going on at this club. We want to make sure that we go and get our just rewards for all the quality of play.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think everybody realizes that this is a more entertaining team. It's more exciting. They do realize the potential. And, you know, like fans can be fans. They're worried about two games, you know, that points were dropped and that's it. But you know what? The good news is they're worrying. So that's good.
No, but do you know what, Glenn? I absolutely understand that. Do you know what? I absolutely love that, because I've said to you before when I came, that's what we've got. We've got a club and we've got people that care. We care about the franchise. Every one of us, the fans care. The fans want the best. I love that. I love that passion I've got. And that's why, as I said, every day we go in there, we're invested in that and we're determined to get a smile on their faces. And I think you're right. If, you know, and it's all ifs and buts, we get that. But for 30 seconds against New England or 20 seconds against the weekend against Seattle, I mean, our fans would be singing and dancing, and you know, people would be thinking, "Oh, you're Barcelona, you're the best." And that's why I always say, give balance to that. Understand how well we did in those games for huge periods, which we did. I'd much rather be doing that, not performing at all, and try to escape a result. So what I know from all my experience as a player, as a coach, at the highest level now in North America, in MLS, the highest level in you know, probably worldwide in English Premier League and the Championship and such forth, is that we have a very good team, a team capable of winning games against very good teams. And it's an exciting part to be in. But within that, and this is what we stress again to the players, there's always bits that we can learn and get better at. And that's very evident. That takeaway from those games, totally understand that. But what we do know is that we'll do everything in our power to, as I say, to get those 1 point to turn into three, which they should be, because we've earned the right to be in that winning position in the game. And that's what we've got to continue to do, but make sure we see the games through.
He's Owen Coyle, Houston Dynamo manager here, brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. Dynamo in action this Friday night. It's the one and only LA Galaxy coming to town. Before I get a quick word on LA, Owen, just how refreshing was it to get Giles Barnes back? Because the team certainly had some dangerous moments through him, including the goal.
Yeah, well, I think we all seen that. We've seen it, Glenn, didn't we? And that's what we want. Even seeing, you know, when you've got Wenger on one side, you've got Barnes on the other, You've got Maidana when he's pulling the strings and playing those passes. I mean, Will Brewer could have been easily in three times, Glenn, off Maidana's passes, something we worked on with those little runs, if you remember, in the first half in particular. Mm-hmm. And even in the second half, when Wenger goes driving at Jones and Boniek, and this is another part of it, Glenn. What we have done in each of those games, New England, even at Red Bull, if you mentioned, even Seattle, we've had great opportunities to put the game to bed. So we've got to be clinical, you know, make it 2-0 or a two-goal gap, whatever it is. And then that obviously makes it easier on the other side of things. So again, it's another area that we'll look to work on and be clinical. But to get Giles back in the team, I mean, you've seen the goal threat that he has with the wonderful goal. I mean, he had four or five shots on target. And the other thing for me as well, and you'll remember this because you always look at it, when they get the volley away on the throw-in, that's something we want at the training ground. That little bit of movement off a throw-in, and it nearly results in a goal. And from the coaching perspective, as you know, it's always nice when stuff like that comes to fruition or during the games. But Giles is explosive, because it's a real problem. I still think, you know, because he had the hamstring strain, he probably still wasn't up to 100% yet, but as I say, each day he trains this week again, it gets him better to be that top player that he is.
Oh, in that first half, because of the pressure you had, the chances you created, if you get a second and third goal, which, I mean, based on the way you played, that could have happened in this game. But you mentioned being more clinical. How do you, as a coach, work with a group to become more clinical and to build that killer instinct? To produce during those great moments. In other words, that was a great 45 minutes, and you want to produce during your best times, right?
Absolutely. We always feel, and you know this from the experience in the game, when you're really on top, then you've got to, obviously, I think, capitalise on that and look to put teams to the sword. And again, you know, the goalkeeper had some wonderful saves. But if you remember, you know, Boniek obviously had a wonderful chance, and he struck the ball well, but the keeper's made a great save. And it may be that one in that instance, and you've seen the drills we do in terms of repetition and in those situations, that little bit of composure to pass the ball away. I mean, with an unbelievable move down the left, a team move with Giles to DeMarcus Beasley. DeMarcus Beasley went by the boy, I think it was Evans, as if he wasn't there. And that's maybe one then, if Will carries his run on, Will's tapping the ball in. Or Lionel Miranda carries his run on to the back post. So all we can do is keep replicating those situations and scenarios in training. So when it comes about in match play, people end up in the right area of the field to punish the opposition. But there was some, even in the second half, as much as Seattle had some decent possession, we still had some wonderful chances to put the game to bed.
Owen Coyle joining us here. We'll finish it up with, how about a quick word on the LA Galaxy coming to town now? There's a good chance they'll be without Nigel DeYoung. I don't know if that's come out yet, but they're going to be missing Robbie Keane. The Galaxy come to town still with a lot of talented players and a great manager.
Well, they are. They absolutely. I mean, Bruce is somebody I've got a lot of time for. And you, as you mentioned, a great team. A team that, you know, in terms of like, budget-wise, Glenn, then obviously completely dwarf us in terms of their spending, the amount the players earn and everything else. But as I said, we've got a good group. They'll be, you know, always very respectful and wary of what they've got. But we're back at home. We want to replicate the level of performance we showed the first half, but do it for longer periods. And if we do that, we know it's a game we can win. You're right. I mean, whether the, you know, De Jong, it didn't look a great tackle, I've got to say. And I know that because Stuart played for me at Bolton when he got his, you know, when he got hurt before the World Cup in 2010, mm-hmm. if you remember.
Yep.
When Stuart had played for myself at Bolton. So we don't want tackles that hurt people. Within the rules of the game, absolutely go and do what you need to do. Be strong, be fair. Be disciplined. But so whether it's his punishment for that, time will tell. So whoever they bring, we know they're going to be outstanding players. But we also know, Glenn, that we are building a very good team here for Houston Dynamo. A team that's quick, a team that's exciting, a team that's dynamic. And I certainly believe a team that can win game after game.
Owen, it's going to be a good one Friday. I can't wait till it gets here, and I know you can't either. Thank you very much, as always, for coming on the program.
No, thanks, Glenn. Again, everybody, thanks for all that support. The players are very appreciative of it. And the atmosphere we're creating in the BBVA is certainly going to be one of the best in the league. So thanks again.
Thank you, Owen. That's great stuff from the manager, Owen Coyle, there. Some great takes, and we get it each and every week straight from the manager. And, you know, we have to be appreciative of how open Owen Coyle is here in Houston. Again, a quick reminder here, the world's best soccer players coming to Houston. Chicharito, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jaimes Rodriguez, many more. 100 years in the making, 32 games, 16 teams, one champion. It's the Copa America Centenario. We've got Colombia, Costa Rica, Mexico, Venezuela, semifinal at Energy Stadium as well. Individual tickets are on sale now at ca Dynamo2016.com. Tickets for the Dynamo Los Angeles Galaxy this Friday at HoustonDynamo.com. This is one not to be missed. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're going to finish this final segment out in big, big style here tonight. We will, in 1 second, be bringing on the manager of the Houston Dash. He is Randy Waldrum. But first, a quick reminder here, the world's best soccer players, they are coming to Houston. Chicharito, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jaimes Rodriguez, many more. It is a tournament 100 years in the making, 32 games, 16 teams, one champion. It is the Copa America Centenario. So you got Colombia against Costa Rica here at Energy Stadium. Then we get Mexico, Venezuela, and then a semifinal match at Energy Stadium. Individual tickets on sale now at ca2016.com. Get them, and also get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Get your Dash tickets because the Houston Dash are in action to open up their 2016 season this weekend against the Chicago Stars and Red Stars, and no better time to bring in the manager of the team. He is Randy Waldrum. Randy, thank you for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so a lot of the hard work done. The curtain raiser this Saturday. Some of your opening thoughts just on the squad you've assembled this year for the 2016 NWSL season.
Well, I'm really excited about it from a standpoint, Glenn, that, and you know this, playing and coaching and being in the game for so long, I finally feel like it's year three and that I'm finally getting the pieces of the puzzle in place to play the way I've kind of envisioned, you know, the Dash playing ever since I first got here. And I think that that first year was such a rushed expansion year and, you know, just trying to get a team going. And then last year I felt like we made some moves and brought in some players that could just hopefully fill some gaps and get us over the hump. But this year, I think we've had 2 years of planning and we had a couple of off-season moves and some trades and finally now have the pieces in place with the kind of players that fit more the style. So I'm hoping for a much more pleasant and entertaining product on the field for our fans to see.
Yeah, so if I could ask you, define that purpose of play and what this is crystallizing into being for Randy Waldrum.
Yeah, you know, I've always wanted to be a very attack-minded team. I mean, I kind of always, you know, have related to teams like the Showtime Lakers in the NBA, you know, or and everybody wants to play like Barcelona or back in Fergie's days, the Man United teams, the way they just attacked at, you know, at will and relentless. And I think as part of growing the women's game, you know, we need to do that. We need to win games 4-3 or, you know, 3-2 or 3-1 as opposed to those 1-0 games, because I think the fans need to grow into enjoying the women's game. And I think you do that by scoring goals and creating and being creative in your play. So a little bit more possession, a little bit quicker, you know, a lot more attacking than what we've seen in the first 2 years. That's what we're hoping for. And I really, really am pleased with the players we have in place. They're young, and they're going to have to adapt to the league. But we did quite well up in Portland for our preseason tournament. And so I'm anxious to see how we open up against Chicago, which is a very, very good team.
Now, that was interesting what you just said, because with a league in its infancy and needing to attract fans, you just focused very much so on the style of play and the entertainment and winning games 4-3. And not everybody's willing to do that either, right?
No, I think, you know, I think those of us that have been in the game so long, we can watch a 1-0 game and enjoy it, you know, based on, you know, what we're seeing on the field. But for the average American fan and that fan that we're trying to bring down to BBVA Compass Stadium is not always the soccer fan that's, you know, been raised in the game. And so I think we've got to show them some entertainment value. And people in America obviously love to win, and they love to score goals, and they love to see offense. And as much as you and I could appreciate the defensive side of things, I think to put people in the stands and really get them to embrace the women's game in general, you know, we need to show that kind of creativity and that flair.
He's Randy Waldrum of the Houston Dash. They are in action Saturday. They will take on the Chicago Red Stars. By the way, one of the top teams in the league last year, without a doubt. It is Carly Lloyd bobblehead night. So I just did the U.S. Women's National Team game for ESPN down in Chester, Pennsylvania. 3-0 win over Columbia. Had a chance to talk and chat with Carly at their training session, and she finally feels like she's a little bit more rejuvenated now with, you know, her blast into celebrity and all the attention that, you know, has come upon her. That must be some music to your ears, Randy.
Well, it is. I've been really worried about both her and Morgan just from a standpoint that since, you know, the summer before or the summer preparing for the last World Cup, I mean, that spring and summer, they've been on the go ever since then, and it really hasn't stopped. I mean, even though they won the World Cup, they had all the tours and the celebration games and the victory tour and all of that, and then, of course, the endorsements and things that they've had to live up to. Those two have lived out of a suitcase for, seems like, the last year. And I've really been worried about their health just from a standpoint of mentally, if not physically, that they've just been on the go so much. But it does sound like that they've caught a little bit of a break here, even though they just came out of camp. I do think they've had a time to catch the breath a little bit, and then hopefully we'll have them here for a few more weeks in Houston before they have to go back to another camp with the national team, and that should help them as well.
Randy, Morgan obviously was a scratch for the U.S. Women's National Team this past Sunday against Columbia. What's the projection potentially for her to be able to play on Saturday night?
Well, we're going to look at it this week. And I think I have to, Glenn, as much as I need her in our lineup and as much as we want her playing, I've got to be really smart about it because this is a hamstring injury and we just don't want it to be a lingering injury. And so we'll evaluate her this week. She just got back into town late last night, so we saw her today at training and did some rehab and some little bit of work with her on the field. And we'll see how she does this week. And it may be one of those things that it comes down to either playing her, but probably not 90 minutes for sure. I wouldn't see that happening, or making a decision that, you know, to just say, you know what, let's hold her off one more week and make sure she's completely healed and ready to go. And so I think we'll know more of that in a day or two, but I think her status is probably questionable right now.
How exciting is it that we have the number one female women's player in the world who stood up there accepting the Ballon d'Or right next to Lionel Messi, who, by the way, Carly Lloyd is a huge Lionel Messi fan. I guess who isn't, but she certainly likes him a lot. But, you know, to have her in our city, I mean, it is pretty remarkable. And then for you as a coach, you know, to have a player of this quality and to be able to work with through all your years in the coaching game, it's exciting all around, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, you know, and that's the one name now that a lot of those people around the world know, and they know for that reason. And, you know, they may not have been aware of the Houston Dash or of the Women's Pro League if it weren't for Carly. So I think the fans out there should be really appreciative of the fact that we have her here in Houston and take advantage of it and definitely get out and see her, because we're going to have her a little bit more this year than we had last year, obviously, and we're excited about that. And, you know, for our players on our team, she's such a great role model for them by the way she trains and prepares herself and takes care of her body, you know, on and off the field. And, you know, I think that's more of how she impacts our team, is just by her actions more so than by her words. So, but the fans know her, you know, anytime I'm out in the community and we're talking about the Dash and they ask about it, you know, she's always the name that they mention. So people are aware of it, and we just need to make them more aware and get them down to the stadium to see her and the rest of the team play.
Outside of, you know, a lot of the players we know from last year, Kalia Ohai and, of course, Stephanie Oakes and a number of your players, Melissa Henderson, the ones that were here last year, give us some insight into two or three of the new players that we all should be keeping an eye on that you've brought in this year.
Well, the ones that would stand out to me to really keep an eye on is, one, last year, a player that we brought in late that didn't get that many games with us, but was the young Brazilian Andressa. She's special. And even though we had her last year, we didn't have her the whole season. So definitely keep your eye on Andressa as well this year. But we brought in another Brazilian, a right back, Pollyanna, that's done extremely well for us. And then our draft picks so far, Janine Becky and Rachel Daly are going to be, I think, dynamite in this league and very exciting players up front to watch. And I think both of them already scored 3 or 4 goals in this preseason that we've gone through each. So that's an exciting thing to see. And then I think the one piece, Glenn, that, as you know, when you build your team up the spine, you got to have that one player that may not get all the accolades, but just does all the dirty work in there in midfield, and that's Amber Brooks. She's that defensive midfield player that we've really lacked the first 2 years, of somebody that can kind of sit in that hole and destroy attacks and win the ball, but yet it's good enough to, you know, to develop your attack out of that midfield role. So those would be the key players I would say to watch. I think Chioma Ubagagu is a player we picked up that from a trade with Sky Blue that played at Arsenal last year and had quite a good year at Arsenal. And she's a Dallas kid, and she's got some great flair to her game as well. So those would be some of the players I'd say I think will really catch the fans' eyes.
He's Randy Waldrum joining us here. Amber Brooks, of course, last year played for the Seattle Reign. And Janine Becky, I had an opportunity to call some of her college games with Texas Tech with Tom Stone and company there. All right, let's talk Chicago Red Stars, because based on the game I called this past Sunday, Alyssa Nayer was in goal for them for the U.S. national team. She'll be in town. Kristen Press scored one of the goals, along with Julie Johnson, who had two. So Press and Johnson coming off some good work with the national team as well.
Yeah, I joked about it on social media, and I said, you know, it was the Chicago Red Stars 3 and Columbia 0, because that's who did all the damage there, I think, for the U.S. team. But a very good team, second in the league last year with in total points, and very organized. They don't lose hardly anything from their starting group. And then picking up Alyssa Nair was a huge off-season move for them, because I think she's one of the best goalkeepers in the league. And then, of course, they have Kristen Press, who can do damage to you at any time offensively. And Julie Johnson in the back is one of the best young center backs in the world, I think, right now. So it's going to be a really, really difficult game. It's going to be a great matchup, and I'm excited to see how we cope with it, because it's a team we haven't beaten yet. And it's also you know, a team that was above us last year and made the playoffs. So it's going to be a really good measuring stick for us in an opening game to see how far we've come along and with our new acquisitions and in the preseason. And they should be, I would expect them to be very, very well organized, because it's a team kind of like Seattle. They just didn't make many moves, and they've kind of got their team intact. So I would expect this to be a very, very good test for us on Saturday night.
What a doubleheader. Friday night, Dynamo LA. Saturday night, Houston Dash, Chicago Red Stars. You get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. Going to be an exciting year for the Dash. That game's going to be littered with national team players from a number of different countries. So if you are a fan of the women's game, or you haven't tested it out yet, Saturday night's the night to do it. Carly Lloyd, the World Player of the Year there. First 5,000 people get a bobblehead of Carly Lloyd. So, Randy, all the hard work of preseason done, the curtain raiser Saturday night. We wish you the best of luck.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate all the support from the fans out there.
All right. That's Randy Waldrum, the manager of the Houston Dash, again, in action this Saturday night. Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com.
All right. That'll do it for tonight here. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, always my thanks to producers Tyler Scott, Derek Pittman, but mostly to you, the soccer fan, who's tuning in, listening to this show, and participating in the show. We thank you for that, and all our guests who are on the program here tonight. Couple of things to remind you before we go. PodcastArena.com. That's where you get the podcast of this show. Sometimes there's some bonus interviews over there as well. We call it extra time. So PodcastArena.com. iTunes also is where you can get the Soccer Matters podcast. You can follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, S-O-C. Facebook, our page is Soccer Matters. So Facebook Soccer Matters, you get over there. All kinds of great articles put up there. You'll get some opinion from me on things. But it's a great place for us to share our ideas about the great game of soccer. All right, that'll do it. We remind you again, Dynamo LA Friday night at BBVA. And it's the Dash against the Chicago Red Stars Saturday. Plus, continue to follow the great story that is Leicester City. Good night, everybody.
ESPN 97.5. 97.5.